Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied among us by our Savior Jesus, the newborn King, the gift given to all people through the ages. Our text for tonight is this passage from the second chapter of Luke. It's one of the readings which we just heard, but since I want to focus especially on it today, I'll read it again for our ears to hear. It's from Luke 2, verses 9 to 14, where we hear about the shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, the shepherds that is, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." It's always the shepherds, which I find myself relating to in the Christmas story. Perhaps because they seem like such an unlikely place for God to start, announcing the birth of the Messiah to this ragtag, probably smelly group of shepherds out in the field. Outside of Mary and Joseph themselves, the shepherds are the first to be given the gift. I wonder what the shepherds were doing right before the angel showed up. We have to use our imaginations. The text does say that it was nighttime. That's in the verse just before what I read, but it's very likely the shepherds had found a safe place for the sheep to lie down. It was dangerous to travel in the dark, and so they were probably sleeping or maybe close to it. Perhaps they were talking around a fire if they had lit a fire that night. Maybe the closest thing we can picture is a group of cowboys, maybe, on a cattle drive. I mean, that's a little bit more Albertan than shepherds, right? Maybe they're having an evening drink right before they settle down for the night. I wonder if that's scandalous to us to think about shepherds. What do you think they were talking about that night? Well, whatever they were doing, the appearance of this angel, the angel of the Lord, must have just about scared them to death. I mean, can you imagine being out in a quiet, dark pasture and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord in all his glory shows up? So unexpected and frightening that must have been that they thought they were going to die. What in the world was going on? Why was it happening to them? Was this the end of the world? They might have wondered. Well, the angel tells them not to be afraid. That makes me smile. I think God has a sense of humor. And then there's a phrase which has brought the Christmas story to life again for me this year, which the angel says to the shepherds. He says, "Unto you is born this day." Unto you is born this day. That's what the angel says after telling the shepherds not to be afraid. Proclaiming the good news of great joy is bursting into the world. And he says, "Unto you, you shepherds, in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, eventually, all people would hear the announcement. But the gift comes to the shepherds first. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, one of the hardest things about December is choosing the gifts. There seems to just be this hang-up in my character, in my personality. Finding the appropriate gift is almost impossible for me. Maybe you're one of those people who buys all their Christmas gifts in September. Those people that I just don't even know how to understand. I can't stand sometimes when people tell me, "I've got all my Christmas shopping done." Great. Good for you. I applaud you. I applaud you for being ahead of the game and having foresight so that you know what you're doing. But for me, it's usually weeks of fretting over what would be just the right thing, the perfect prize that says it all, that communicates thoughtfulness and generosity, but not too much generosity, and it's something that the person wants and needs. I mean, it's just about impossible. Part of what makes it so difficult is that people don't really need anything these days, right? Except for things that cost thousands and thousands of dollars or maybe take years and years. So, I usually end up doing something pretty unromantic like socks or a crock pot or I hope I'm not wrecking anyone's gifts there. I hope if you got a crock pot that you think it's the most romantic thing in the world. The point is, it takes a special brilliance to find the perfect gift. A brilliance that I seem to be lacking, but when God looked into the world and saw all his people, especially those shepherds, and also the people in the town of Bethlehem nearby, and also in Jerusalem where all the fancier people lived, the important people, when God peered into the lives of the high priests and the innkeepers, the farmers and the stay-at-home moms, when God listened into the conversations around their tables and heard the tensions between the wives and the husbands and the in-laws and the rebellious children and the ones who had just gotten tattoos, when God planned the first Christmas, he knew the perfect gift, a baby. Now, if you're a shepherd in first century Palestine, then a baby might not seem like a very practical gift to receive. Nevertheless, the angel said to them, "Unto you is born this day." Here's your gift, in other words. And this is just for you. This is the gift that you've been waiting for, the answer to your anguished prayers, the answer to the hopes of generations. Now, what about you? What would you think if the person that loved you most brought you tomorrow the perfect gift, a baby? Would that be good news of great joy unto you? Or would you wonder, now, what am I going to do with a baby? Now, it's hard to find just the right gift. It's also hard to receive a gift that we genuinely need. It takes humility, doesn't it? Think about it. Receiving gifts is even harder than finding gifts sometimes. Imagine if you were someone who struggled to maintain a healthy body, and you opened a package from someone who loved you and knew you so well, and they gave you a book on how to eat well and exercise more. Or imagine you were a person who struggled with debt, maybe, and your gift was they enrolled you in a course on how to manage your personal finances responsibly. And to accept those gifts, we must admit that we need help. We need help. That's what true gifts require. What must we admit about ourselves to accept the gift of a Savior? To accept the gift of Jesus, who comes to save us from what we can't do ourselves. What must we admit about ourselves to realize that we need a Savior? That's another level of humility and self-awareness, isn't it? Do you need Jesus tonight? Do you know your needs? Knowing our needs requires honesty about our lives, courage to name the things we're not very good at. It takes a lot of mental gymnastics and historical background to go back and understand why Jesus being born would have been a gift for those shepherds. It takes a lot of studying and realizing that there was prophecy involved here, the fulfillment of a long promise that was given even at the very outset of when God's people went off track. But the arrival of this promised deliverer was in fact the gift that the shepherds needed. They just didn't realize it yet. It might take some mental gymnastics or maybe a quiet moment of honest self-reflection for us tonight, this Christmas Eve, to understand why Jesus being born so many years ago is the gift that we need too. But that's just the case. That is the truth. Unto you he is born this day. Unto you, the real inner, sometimes hidden you, the you that's underneath all those visible layers that you present to the world, the profile picture and the cute, pithy caption, the wondrous gift is given to you, this baby, this Savior. Will you have the humility to recognize your need for him? Last night I tried to help a young man who came to our door. It was about 6:30, and of course by that time it's dark and it was getting cold, and he looked like he'd been outside for most of the day. He was wearing a black leather jacket, not done up, a ball cap, he had no gloves on, and he was talking pretty fast. He was a little agitated. I asked him his name, and it was Curtis, he said. which was interesting to me, which is because, of course, my name is Curtis, too. And so there was this jarring invitation to relate to him on a human level. Something in my soul wondered, what if this was me? And I was knocking on some pastor of some church's door at 6:30 the night before Christmas Eve. What if this was me? So I told him that I was about to go grocery shopping, which was the truth, and that if he could wait for about 45 minutes, that I'd drive him wherever he wanted to go on my way to the store. And so he waited. On the way to Superstore, we drove along 107th Avenue. It became clear to me that he was very familiar with the culture of that street, especially what happens on that street associated with the drug trade. And I pulled over at the place that he'd asked me to drop him off, and he sat there for a few minutes contemplating his next move. I could tell that he had recognized a couple people that were in a storefront that wasn't labeled, and he was wondering whether he should get out and talk with them. And I could tell he was afraid to go out into the darkness. And yet it was what he knew. And familiarity is a powerful thing. So he ended up not getting out of the car. He decided not to go out. And so I continued on to Superstore. He was still a passenger. And he sat in the entryway on the bench at Superstore while I did my shopping. At his request, I brought him a loaf of bread, some hamburger, some ketchup and mayonnaise. His short list of felt needs. In the end, I drove this young man to another part of town where he had asked me to take him, and then he got out at a Circle K and took his little bag of groceries into the dark night. And I don't know what happened to him after that. We had prayed together, and I gave him my phone number. I tried my best to warn him that the choices he was making were going to lead to his death unless he made some different choices. And he thanked me and he shook my hand with a firmness that communicated real gratitude. But after that, he was in God's hands. And I'm fairly certain that the crystal meth he was taking and had taken earlier that morning was clouding his judgment to the point where he didn't really know what he needed. Unto us is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord, whether we know it or not. Jesus is given as a gift to all people, whether they know it or not. Whether we're addicts wondering if we'll make it through the night alive, or pastors wondering if we've done the right thing with the time given to us, we need this gift. Whether we're financial planners or unemployed oil patch workers, we need this gift. Whether we have beautiful families gathered around a feast tonight or tomorrow or just memories of happier years, we need this gift. Whether we're aware of a hollow ache in our souls where we know there should be a sense of purpose, or whether we're gluttonous, self-indulgent hedonists who try to fill that hollow place with the pleasures of the world, we need this gift. We need this gift whether we know it or not. Whether we're impressive, hard-working Albertans who know how to dig deep and weather a tough couple of years, or fearful, anxious, stressed out, nervous wrecks with maxed out credit cards who self-medicate with more coffee and overspending. We need this gift. We need the gift of Jesus. Whether we're compassionate or oblivious to other people, whether we're givers or takers, whether we feel we've got it all together or know just how we're coming apart, we need this gift, this baby, this Savior of all humanity. We need Jesus. Unto you is born this day. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Do you know what you want for Christmas? Do you know what you're getting, the one that you're trying to tell that you love them? I think the malls might still be open tonight. You still have time. But the question is, do you know what you need? Do you know what they need? Here is the gift. The gift that takes humility to receive, yet he is so full of love and hope and peace for you. How can you refuse him? The baby, the Savior, Christ the Lord. Amen. And now may the baby who comes into this dark world, bring us peace while we contemplate his birth and while we rejoice with the shepherds and the magi and the angels for all to hear. Amen. Our worship continues now with the passing of the light, and as we do this, the choir is going to sing the song that they've been preparing. It includes the singing of Silent Night, so we're going to let the choir sing Silent Night, and then after they're done their song, then we'll also join in with hymn number 363, just before we come to a time of prayer. So we have the passing of the light, and the lights will be dimmed in the sanctuary.